morning.
Sunday morning is crazy, nerve-wracking. praise the Lord. I just want to also thank y'all for your prayers, your support. You know, we get one chance a year really to stand up here and say thank you. And it's like if you were to try to write a letter and really express it, it would be hard, and even to put it into words. But I am, like Stephen, just amazed every month at the faithfulness. And obviously, so many of you are so convinced about the importance of missions that God has impressed that on your heart, and it blesses me immensely. And so thank you very much for your support and your prayers for us. We do truly appreciate it. I'd like to look in Acts chapter 11. And because I've been going through the book of Acts with the women, they wanted to study a book, so I've been trying to go through this, and it's difficult because there's so much good stuff, and I'm only on chapter 13 down there right now, but it's been since last year, so yeah. But just want to share something that really blessed me and really made me ponder a lot of phrases in this chapter. Starting in verse 19, it says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." You know, I see so much in these few verses. First of all, the things that stuck out to me in that just reminded me of kind of like the phases that there are in this. When you're evangelizing someone or trying to evangelize, whether it's in a city or a coworker, a family member, in verse 20, the first one is actually preaching the Lord Jesus. I mean, they have to hear the message of salvation. And just a side note in verse 21 where it said the hand of the Lord was with them. And I think how important it is that, you know, that we can just ask God for his hand to be upon the work. Because I think it isn't just a given. I think it is something that we need to, you know, implore the Lord for his power, his blessing, his favor.
Amen.
To be upon the preaching of the word in the streets, or even when we're witnessing or passing out track, coming to church, just that his hand would be upon us, because we do need his blessing on all that we do in evangelizing. Also in verse 21, I kind of saw the next phase of that. People actually believe. They have faith in this message. And then they turn to the Lord, which is definitely implies they turn away from something. And in Mexico and in many other places I know, we see they turn from idolatry and from a tradition that has had a hold of them their whole life, or maybe just a sinful life, and they turn unto the Lord. They repent from the wrong path or wrong direction and turn unto him. And then verse 23 is the one that I kind of want to just speak about today that really spoke to me. And that's the exhortation to cleave to the Lord.
Amen.
And I just kind of see, just really blessed me here, Barnabas and his testimony and just kind of his reaction. They sent him over there to kind of like, confirm what's going on, what they're hearing is going on over there in Antioch. And when he sees it, it says in verse 23, it says, "Who, when he came and he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." So at first I just want to just look at the exhortation that he gives them. And it's just such a profound statement to me that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. You know, I see this in my own life, but also I don't want to say it's the hardest part. I, you know, again, it's just my perspective. of working in Mexico or whatever, or trying to establish a church, because I've never preached in the street, so I'm pretty sure that's probably the hardest part. But I just see the struggle that it is. So many, people wavering and back and forth, and maybe in their faithfulness. But how important it is that this is an exhortation that's given to those after they believe. And so just thinking of purpose of heart, I just think that speaks of being settled and firm and fixed to do something. And it's kind of beyond understanding that, yeah, I need to cleave unto the Lord. I got it. I mean, it really requires purposing it in your heart. And I thought of marriage because of the verse, that we all know that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. I just kind of comparing it to that. It's kind of a prerequisite to cleaving, even in marriage, is you got to purpose it in your heart. You have to be determined that no matter what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to cleave unto my spouse and follow. And so I see this also in his statement, or in the statement here, that Barnabas, his attitude and what he exhorted and the exhortation. And then that the word cleave just was impressed upon me as well, that so much we have for them when we're exhorting them to cleave unto the Lord. They do have so much to cleave unto. His word, his way. There's so many promises in his word, so much direction for someone after they're saved to cleave unto, and the Lord is faithful to lead them. And also it just struck me that he tells them to cleave unto the Lord, not unto Barnabas, not unto the exhorter, because it's an amazing thing how much people, when they're won by somebody, when somebody is the one that leads them to Christ, they are just drawn to that person, and they want to spend so much time with them, and they want to just, oh no, don't leave me, or don't go out of town or whatever. And so many times when we have to leave, or when we're not all there together, I worry and I, fret that, I hope they don't get discouraged or whatever. But they have the Lord that they need to cleave unto. Yes, they need to follow our example, but we eventually will need to go, and they will be left with cleaving unto the Lord, but that's a good thing. And then I wanted to look at the exhorter. The exhortation, obviously, is verse 23 that I saw, and then I saw the exhorter, which he really blessed me in verse 24, is Barnabas. It talks about him and says, "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." It says here that he was a good man, and I know that this is not the world's definition of a good man. But this is somebody that God defined as a good man. And I just wanted to look at a few things about him that kind of challenged me as far as, am I fit for this task that he was obviously fit for, to go and confirm these believers. To me, it was obvious that he cared. And I say that because he went, first of all, and then he saw the grace of God in these believers. He observed what was happening, and he obviously had discernment to know that it was only by God's grace that they had believed. And then he was glad. So, it does take a caring spirit to actually get excited about the work and to be happy about it. Because so many things flood our minds and fill our hearts with our own problems, our own discouragement or distresses that we're going through. But I see here that he obviously cared about these people, and he invested time in them enough to exhort them and to even spend like a year with them, with Paul and everything. But so I see that, and then it also says there in verse 24 that he was full of the Holy Ghost. And I just like to quote in Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So obviously Barnabas was provoked by the Holy Spirit, to invest time in them and to see that it was God that was working in them, and that he was going to finish that work. And in Galatians 5:25-26, I'm just thinking of it as on my own, trying to compare myself to Barnabas, living in the Spirit. It says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." And I think so many times, I'm kind of consumed, or I find myself without realizing it, being a provoker to others in the work and causing damage, maybe instead of letting the Holy Spirit provoke me to good work so that they can see that and be sorted by them. And also it says that he was full of faith. And I'd like to look at Acts 4, just a little bit more about Barnabas. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 through 37. Talking about Barnabas, this kind of some examples of his faith, which really blessed me. It says in 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You know, he was convinced of something that required a lot of faith to do that. And so that just, you know, encouraged my heart that, you know, speaking that, yeah, I have faith in God, but actually this guy definitely had a lot of work to back it up. And then in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26 to 27, right after Saul gets converted, chapter 9, verse 26 says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So here he's convinced again, but he's convinced about someone. Which also required a lot of faith to be able to convince others as well that, hey, he really is the real deal. You know? He's not faking it. This guy was preaching, and he really has seen the Lord in the way. And so that required a lot of faith. And so I think when, back to chapter 11, where it talks about him being full of faith, he definitely had a testimony about that. And I see that he knew his God in whom he had believed. He obviously was convinced that God was able to keep these believers whom he was exhorting to cleave unto the Lord, and he was committing them to the Lord. He had to have been convinced that God was able to keep them. Otherwise, he would have told them, cleave to me, okay? You know, and I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. But he knew that God was the one that was able to keep them, and that he was convinced that he could commit them to the Lord. And this, you know, when I think of the word cleave, this exhortation that was given, I think also of like so many times we have to do this not only with church members or people that were winning to the Lord, but like recently with my daughter. It's one thing for me to tell her, you know, just cleave unto the Lord, you're going to be good, you know. But I have to be convinced that he's able to keep her, because if not, they're just words. And boy, we have such an amazing God, and I know he's able to keep her, to keep anyone that he has in his hands, because he's the one that is watching over us at all times, and I thank the Lord for that. And so just kind of to sum up why this blessed me, I saw that this was a good exhortation, but it was made even better because it was backed up by a good man with a good testimony and good work. His life and his testimony, I think it really mattered as he exhorted them, because it says in verse 24, after it says that he exhorted them all that they would cleave unto the Lord, and it says, for he was a good man. Because he was a good man, he could stand and say, cleave unto the Lord, you know, follow my example, but cleave unto him. And I think that an exhortation to be steadfast has so much more weight if that exhorter himself is actually being steadfast. In Psalm 78, I'd like to read a couple verses there. In Psalm 78, verses 5 through 8, just talking about having a testimony to back up exhorting somebody. It says, for he established, verse 5 of Psalm 78, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You know, how much more joyful and rewarding I think it would be to have a good testimony, a solid testimony of steadfastness to back up the exhortation to be steadfast.
Amen.
This is our message to those after they get saved, that He's able to keep them. He's able to finish the work that He's to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's the one who started it. He will finish it. And I share this because I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but it is hard to commit sometimes these works to the Lord.
Yeah.
When you see some other ones maybe that you committed or you thought you committed. Maybe you did, but you know, you cannot control everything. Big surprise. Still trying to learn that one. But you know, God's worthy to commit these people to, because He will keep them. And so I just ask that you would pray for Puebla, that much people would be added to the Lord, like in here in Acts 11, but that these brethren would cleave to the Lord with a purpose of heart. And I ask that you would pray for me, that I would be an example of this very thing myself. I would like to close in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20. Deuteronomy 10, 20, and verse 21. It says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, Him shalt thou serve, and Him shalt thou cleave, and swear by His name. He is thy praise, and He is thy God, that has done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen." I thank the Lord for this testimony of Barnabas, who went, saw, was glad, and exhorted them. And, you know, and then he kept working. And I know that God is able to do abundantly above what I could ask or think with these churches and in my life as well, if I commit to Him and cleave to Him, because He does want that relationship alone. And I thank the Lord for these verses.
Thank you, Carrie. Well, praise the Lord. This is wrapping it up this today. It's gone fast, and it's been a really good meeting. I've really enjoyed it. Just a few announcements just to point out. I guess to start off, just let me make sure. Did anybody come today prepared to be baptized? Already saved, you already know you're saved, but you want to follow Him in baptism today, would you stand? All right.